When God's call is still the same in the Old Testament and in the New, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, it wouldn't be fair for God to tell you to do something you cannot do. Correct? It's not fair. So, if God says, you shall be holy as I, the Lord, am holy, there must be a possibility of us being holy and clean and cleansed and like Him. The question is how? So, long ago, the preachers were not so involved in healing or charismatic gifts or prosperity. In fact, they didn't really care for those things much. In fact, long ago, they thought that to have less was to be better. And in a sense, yes, you need to be detached from the world. And they concentrate on the purity of the Christian character. John Wesley, Charles Finney, and a lot of those books that were written by Christians long ago. It's interesting to look at the generation we live in. Look at a bookstore and look at all the books published in the 20th century and the 21st century. Most of it have to do with my needs, your needs, my needs, your needs, my needs, better life, better this, better that. But you look at all the Christian books published in the 17th, 18th and 19th century. Things like Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis, Madame Guyon on a Greater Life in God, John Wesley on Holiness unto the Lord, Charles G. Finney, Perfect Sanctification in God. And you look at the teaching, they were concentrating on something that modern Christians miss. And what we need to do is to benefit from all of them. Not neglect what modern Christians have discovered, but we need to understand our heritage and bring that understanding into our modern day so that our Christianity is more balanced. You probably have found Romans 6 yet, right? All those things were just getting you to Romans 6. Verse 6. And this seems to be a key verse. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. And that doesn't refer to your father, by the way. Your father didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer, see the word, no longer slaves of sin. So to the question, can a Christian be free from sin? The answer has to be a resounding yes. So the next time a preacher comes and says, can a Christian be free from sin? Your answer is yes. Wait for the second question. That will say, is it still possible to sin? Then you can answer a strong yes too. And that is a balanced picture. Because some of you who say, no, we cannot be free from sin, it's because you were strong on the second side, you realize of the possibility of sinning. But when we split our understanding into sin and sins, then we can understand. Now let's look at Romans 6. What is done away? What has been done away? It says, the old man or the old nature to sin has been done away with. So that we no longer be slaves of sin, ruled by sin. Notice how his terminology is so exact. He says you're no longer slaves of sin. That means sin is your master. But sin should be under you. You should be in control. And I like his analogy because even the analogy shows you that you're not free from the presence of sin and the possibility of sin. See, many of you answered, no, we can't be free from sin. What you were answering was, no, we cannot be free from the presence or the possibility of sin. That was what you were saying when you said no to that. And that is true. We are never free from the possibility because when you have a relationship of slave and master, there is a constant struggle. That means it exists. And you have to be a master over sin. Now, let's look at John Wesley. Invite Mr. John Wesley in. John Wesley comments on Romans 6, verse 6, in his book, Christian Perfection. What a book. I mean, how many modern preachers write books like Christian Perfection? You know what modern books are like? Christian Prosperity. See, we're so concerned about our needs. We're no more concerned about the things that are eternal. We're too concerned about things that are temporal. Now, we need things that are temporal, but if we understand that there are things that are important to God, then we will be more balanced. He wrote a book, Christian Perfection, in pages 54 and 55. John Wesley says, on Romans 6 verse 6, I use the word destroy because St. Paul does. Suspended, I cannot find in the Bible. Again, he says, the body of sin, the carnal mind, must be destroyed. The old man must be slain, or we cannot put on the new man. Now, what is destroyed in Romans 6 verse 6 is the sin nature. The sin nature. The inward drawing. And if you think about it, that's very important. If God wants us to be free from sin, He needs to deal with all our past actions and the nature to do it. Because if He doesn't deal with the nature, it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to fall again. But He makes it harder for us to fall by removing the nature. Now, just to analyze some of the things in the book of Romans, it says, the Christian scholars struggle with this. And another Christian scholar, Dr. Daniel Steele, says, the Greek for destroy is never used by Paul in the sense of rendering inactive, as those who assert that the root of sin is not killed till it is plucked up by the old mortality himself. So in other words, he's trying to say that it's not just inactive, it's remove. Then there's another guy called Asa Mahan who says on Romans 6 verse 6, all admit that the terms sin that dwelleth in us, the body of sin, the old man, the law of sin and death, the body of this death, all these used in the book of Romans, mean the same thing and constitute what we all call indwelling sin, or what we call the sin nature in us. Then what is the Bible trying to say here in Romans 6, verse 6? And this guy, J. Cyril Baxter, approached it slightly differently. He differentiated between, when he said, freedom from sin. And I asked the first question, can a Christian be free from sin? J. Cyril Baxter will ask a question back, based on his book. If he is sitting in a congregation, he asks, says, Pastor, do you mean freedom from sin judiciary, or freedom from sin experientially? He answered a question with a question. Say, what is judiciary? As you all know, the word judiciary has to do with the legal sense. The judiciary. So, Baxter would ask a question. Are you asking whether we are free from sin legally or free from sin experientially? And it comes down to the definition again. What do you mean by free from sin? And then some of you will ask a third question. Question. What is the difference between freedom from sin legally and experientially? See, one has to do with the sin nature, the other with our continual actions. And that's what Baxter tries to bring forth. And this is what he brings in when he analyzed the book of Romans. And this is his analysis. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to Romans chapter 5, verse 11, Paul was dealing with sins, plural, our action. And so in Romans chapter 3 verse 21 to Romans chapter 4 verse 25, he was talking about Justification through the substitutionary work of Christ, appropriate by faith, imputed righteousness. Put it in simple English. What Paul was saying in Romans 3 verse 21 to Romans 4 verse 25 was that Jesus has paid the legal price for us to be free from sins. Plural. So Jesus has paid legally the price for us. And then in Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 11, he's talking about the results of being free from sins. The experience of justification by faith, peace with God, His love shed abroad in us. So, he's saying that in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 21 to chapter 5, verse 11, talks about sins. The first section deals with Jesus legally paying the price for our sins, and the price needs to be paid. And how we accept His price paid through His precious blood. And so, judiciarily, we are freed. And we experience love, joy, peace. In verse 1 to 11 of Romans 5. All to do with sins. And when he touched on verse 12, in Romans 5 verse 12, to Romans 8 verse 39, he's dealing with a different area now. He's dealing with sin, singular. The nature and the desire to sin. The wanting to sin. And it says here, in the first section, which is chapter 5 verse 12, Romans 5 verse 12 to chapter 7 verse 6, he deals with sin, S-I-N singular, judicially. He deals with the legal aspect of sin nature. Deliverance from death. Because as Adam sin, so we have sin. So that cannot be sins because you and I never acted upon. Just look at Romans 5 for a moment. From verse 12 onwards. From verse 12 onwards, he deals with S-I-N, the sin nature. And it is true. He says in verse 12, through one man, sin entered the world. And death through sin, singular. Thus, death spread to all men because all sinned. Past 10. You and I were not even born yet. How can we have sinned? Can you see the point? How can you say we are sinned when we're not born again? But he's saying, everyone born through Adam now partake of the fallen nature. That's imparted to Adam. That is why from verse 12 onwards, he's talking about the nature of sin. He's dealing with. And so in verse 12, according to him, Romans 5, 12, right up to chapter 7, verse 6, he deals with the legal aspect of the sin nature. He shows us that you are no longer attached to Adam. You are now attached to Jesus. He tries to show you that legally, you are no longer of the old person. You are now legally into the new. So he shows that your new nature is there. Then in the second part of Romans, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, chapter 7, verse 7, right to chapter 8, verse 39, it is the experiential part of understanding how to tap upon that freedom from sin, singular. Now, we have gone quite far. Let me summarize it as simple as I can. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, right up to Romans 5, verse 11, deals with sins. So you don't miss it. The act of sins. And the first part of that section deals with Jesus legally paying the price for your sins and my sins. Past, present, future. All the acts of sin, someone has to pay the price. So Jesus legally paid for us. Judicially, it has been done. And then towards the ending of that first section, which is chapter 5, verse 11, verse 1 to 11, if this is your experience of death,